You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, July 4th, episode 3726, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Now, I realize I'm working on July 4th, and Glenn, I asked him if we're doing this, and he's like, yeah. And I said, well, clearly I'm getting time and a half. And he laughed hysterically at the fact that apparently we're not getting time and a half pay working on a holiday. So I would like to let you know, Glenn, that I did put Bailey's in my coffee. Happy Independence Day.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
I thought you sounded unusually chipper and happy for a Friday morning.
I got up at 6. I went out and had a lovely ride. I escaped the rain that's falling now. And then I came back in and I had some Bailey's in my coffee because it's a holiday and you're making me work, 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 work.
Yeah, this is so tough.
So tough. I'm in such a good mood.
Totally. So tough. Well, a lot of people are going to be traveling this weekend, and I know that a lot of you are traveling this weekend, too, so be safe. I think there's a lot more people traveling by car this weekend than usual, because who wants to fly?
Well, they're saying 6 million people are flying this year, this holiday, and that's up from 4% from last year. So Chad's on call, and That's right. He's still here. So he's not getting called today. So he was on call and they didn't call him.
If I never have to fly another holiday in my life, I'll be happy.
Oh my God.
Right? I just the airport and it used to be enjoyable flying, but not so much.
Well, we're driving tomorrow, but it has nothing to do with the 4th. We're driving tomorrow. We get in the car and we head up to Maytag Mountain Ranch,
Colorado. Was that a 5-6 hour drive?
12.
Oops.
Whatever. It's fine. It's going to be fine, Glenn. Couple dogs in the truck, kid. Let's go.
Jamie will be off next week, but we do have a full week of shows for you. Ashley and Lisa will be here. Celise is joining us today, and she's going to tell us all about Equestrian Chaos, the family stunt show that they do across the country. And also, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Horses of the American Revolution. It is Independence Day here in the United States. Also, happy Independence Day. Is it called Independence Day in Canada? It was July 1st. So happy whatever you call it day in Canada.
Happy Maple Day. Yeah. I don't know.
Happy July 1st day in Canada. And we have a new batch of prizes for really bad ads and a batch of ads that have a theme. Let me tell you, today has
Lord.
A theme too. I don't know how Jennifer does it. I asked her specifically today. I said, did you make these up? And is this theme, did you just make all of these up? She said, nope, they just came through that way. I didn't do anything. So there you go. I also wanted to do a warning. A friend of mine got hit by this earlier in the week, and it's caused a whole lot of hassle. And this is a smart person, too. So there's a surge of very sophisticated online card stealing schemes that what they're doing is they're impersonating reputable sites. So they'll have a site that's usually just, let's say it's paypal.com, but what they do is they misspell one letter in it. So it's PAYYPAL.com. But what they'll do is they'll email you, or they actually will show up in search results on Google now. So you'll click on it thinking it looks exactly like the PayPal site, but it's not. And you'll go in to buy something or do a transaction in there, and they basically just stolen your whole thing. And they basically emptied this person's debit account. And they're having a heck of a time getting it fixed. So, and this is not just PayPal. It's not just Apple. It's all kinds of sites from L.L. Bean to all the big sites that people shop on. They copy these sites so well that when you go there, you don't know, you don't realize you're not on the real site. So what they're recommending you do is, and you get an email that has this sale on it from a site you go to all the time. Don't click through on the email. Go type it in directly. don't type in L.L. Bean and go to the Google site unless you make exactly sure that the website is correct and it has the HTTPS at the beginning. So you definitely want to type it in directly, go directly to the site by typing in llbean.com.
Well, I feel like that is pretty standard, like, because
yeah, but
if you get an email...
How many times do we click off an email on a... If L.L. Bean sends you a sale flyer, you just click on it on the email.
Well, no, not L.L. Bean, but if, like, Horse Lovers does, do you click on State Line Tag, you know, whatever?
Don't do it.
TPP.
Don't do it. Type it in directly. Go directly.
Although I will tell you, too, like, never buy anything off Facebook. Oh, my God. There's some cute dress on Facebook. And what I do now is I go on to Google and I type in the company that's selling it. And you can get, they will tell you, like, on all the different pages, whether it's a legit site or not. So please, you guys, please make sure.
It's so easy to do this because you're in a hurry. You're not thinking. You see something, you go, well, that's cool. And you just, I mean, because we all... Who wants to deal with this every day? But we have to now, I guess.
Yeah, got to be careful. Although I keep getting messages on text for basically my Bitcoin something or other, and I need to click this link to do whatever because somebody's trying to log into it. And so I called Chad and I was like, dude, somebody's trying to log into your Bitcoin account. And he was like, what? I was like, I got a text about it. And he's like, but you're not on the Bitcoin.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you should probably log on to your Bitcoin. Just make sure. Yep. Everything's fine. What they're doing is they're sending texts and they want you to click on the link to like put it. And then they take you to a fake website that looks like it. And you put all your username and password in there. And then they just take that and go right over the website and suck out all your money.
You know what? The other one I noticed too is that doctor's offices now are emailing where you can pay online to the doctor's office. And I don't click on those anymore either. Let them send me a bill in the mail.
I click on nothing.
Yeah.
Let them
send me a bill in the mail. I'll pay it then. Sorry if it's going to be late otherwise, but send me a bill in the mail.
And honestly, sometimes people for like weird news or other emails that I get from people, they will just send me a link with no words in it. I won't click on that either. Like, I just can't. I'm just too scared.
Yeah, well, and rightly so nowadays, you know. Yeah. Now, where I get nervous, because I have so many Facebook friends, and some I haven't talked to in forever, that they'll just send me a link in Facebook Messenger. And those I won't click on.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. Yeah. Like, no, yeah. Not doing that. Sorry. No,
I just won't click on them. Even if it's something you want to show me, if they type something, say, hey, Glenn, this is this and that, then maybe I'll go. But when they don't say anything and just send me the link, you got to put in there a reason that something that tells me I know it's you, you know? So anyway, let's do some Daily Whinnies. Well, here's an auditor that we had on the show the other day. Ariel Wolf, happy birthday to you. If we had known, we'd have wished you a happy birthday. And Nicole Vita, we hope that you have a terrific weekend.
Okay, I didn't tell you about this, Glenn, because I don't tell you things that are kind of cool before the show because I don't get your true reaction because you, as much as you used to be an actor, you're terrible at acting when we do things twice. So my Daily Whinny goes out to Dr. Coy and Royal Vista Equine. Okay, here's the deal. Do you remember I told you about a month ago, I took Anna, our exchange student, to Royal Vista just to go check it out and look at all
the
babies
and stuff.
Yes, yes. So they have a nurse mare program that is really unique. Okay, so like in Kentucky or other farms where they have nurse mares, they'll breed the nurse mares back to the teaser stallion. Well, then, you know, and so you might get like a draft Shetland pony. You know, who knows? Who knows what you're going to get? Now, Royal Vista does something cool, and it's like a network of, because they don't have a teaser stallion. And I was like, how do you rebreed your nurse mares to have nurse mare babies the next year? And apparently there's a thing with breeding stallions. If there's extra semen left over, they'll ship it to Royal Vista. And it could be some fancy warm blood or some fancy quarter horse or something, but it's not registerable and they don't tell you who it is. So they just send you semen back and they breed the nurse mare to this and they have babies. Well, we went and looked at all the nurse mare babies and apparently it's like a, It's like a huge sought after thing at Royal Vista. The waiting list to get on is like 2 years long.
Can I ask a dumb question? Because I don't really know how this works. So the nurse mare has the baby. They separate that baby immediately and then hand feed that baby?
No. So the nurse mare baby stays with the mare until one of these expensive mares and expensive babies, something happens and they need a mare that is in milk. It sucks. Like the whole thing sucks. So they take the mare away at that point. And then
it could be one month, 2 months, 3 months. Whatever.
It could be 1 month. Yeah. Who knows? So they try to, they select the mare that has the oldest baby when they do it. So they, it's not like they just, they're real careful about it. And I was really impressed with this facility because the nurse mare program that they do have, they really try to make something nice, like a nice foal. And there's a 2 year waiting list to get on to get one of these nurse mare babies.
Well, so they don't have problems adopting them out, do they?
No. But they're like highly sought after, right? So what they do is they have a list of like, say, 200 people, and they've had to pull one of these nurse mares and put it on another baby. And so they've got this baby, and it could be a chestnut filly. They don't know what it is. And they will call the first person on the list and be like, we got a chestnut filly for you. And they're like, yes or no. And then they go down until somebody wants it. You know, if you can't take it right now, they'll leave you where you are on the list. So I was like, well, put me on the list. Because I think that'd be cool to like not have to birth it. Because you guys know I've had some exciting.
Do you have to bottle feed it at that point?
So it depends on how old it is. Some bottle feed, some bucket feed, you know, that you can teach them to drink out of a bucket. Sometimes they're old enough to where you can just start them on food. I mean, it just depends on each baby and the situation. So yes, there could be bottle fed ones. You can also keep it there and try to get it bucket fed. So it's like socialized with all the other mares and foals and stuff. It's a whole thing. Like there's so much science that goes into it. And I'm, like I said, I hate the whole nurse mare thing, but these babies are very valuable and they're very well bred. And so I went out and I looked around and I was looking at all the babies and I saw this baby, Glenn. Oh my God.
So you got the call.
No. This is a month ago.
Okay.
I went out and looked and I saw this. Did I show you the Palomino colt? Need a Palomino colt? I saw this Palomino colt and the mare, mama's name is Rosemary. All the mares have names.
It's the only color you don't have right now.
I know, right? I'm like, it's a Palomino colt with like four white socks and a blaze. And I'm like, oh my God, that was so pretty. I love it so much. And all this stuff. Well, you know, cool. Great. And Dr. Coy's eyes, I love this one. I love it so much. So it's been like a month and I didn't know if they had to use the mare. They were coming to the end of it. So there was a good chance that everybody who was there was going to continue to raise their baby. So I called Royal Vista yesterday and I was like, hi, my name is Jamie Jennings and I had gone and seen one of the babies. And I tried to get my best big girl voice because I was like a little squishy. I was like, I just wanted to see what happened to that Palomino colt. And he's still here. He's still with his mom. He's still out with the herd. They're like, what's your name? I said, Jamie. They go, oh, no, I have him in the computer. He's under your name.
She did that after you left.
I'm sorry, what? I was like, what? Yeah, no, we have him under your name. Dr. Coy put him under your name. And I was like, what? I'm giving a baby? So they said, we're going to wean October, November. And oh my gosh, this is so cool. This baby is in a herd with like 20 other mares and foals and they're all running around together. And he's going to be naturally, you know, weaned correctly
bottle feeding. That's good.
No bucket feeding, no bottle feeding. I mean, I'm so excited. And so, yeah, I'm having a baby.
Is there a color you won't have then?
No, I don't pick horses by color.
You picked this one partly because he was Palomino, let's be honest.
No, oh my God, he's so cute. And what I liked about him is he was the youngest and he was the least friendliest. Like he was the most standoffish because all the other ones are like, hello, I love you so much. Can I pay? Can you scratch me? And I was like, I want one that's like not.
You do have a
type. Yeah, that's not on top of me. I like the challenging one.
You and Jennifer both have the same type when it comes to the horses.
Yeah, he wasn't super friendly and he was a little sketched out. And I'm like, I want that one.
But Jennifer was horse shopping. She kept coming across these nice horses, and she's like, well, that would be boring. So, come on, okay. You wanted something that was boring.
I don't think any raising a baby would be boring. I'm just excited to DNA test him because to see what, because you don't, it could be this mare Rosemary, who's a quarter horse, a big quarter horse. It could be her and like some Dash for Cash or some spinning quarter horse, or it could be like freaking well-bred warm blood, you know, just never know whoever, like, kind of, or it could be a Shetland pony. I don't know, but I don't think they ship a lot of semen for Shetland ponies. I don't think it's like a high breeding thing, maybe a Hackney. I don't know, but I have no idea what the other half is. So I'm excited to get it. And then we'll do a DNA test.
So when is
test.
That about, like, October? You said
October, November. They said
providing they don't pull them off early, right?
Yeah. Well, they're done with all their breeding. They will not have
be over by now.
Any yeah. more need for nurse mares. So they have these babies and they'll start calling people on the list and like, hey, who wants
and
them?
They make money by hiring out the nurse mares. Basically, you're renting a nurse mare. Is that how they make their money? Okay.
Yeah. So they rent out the nurse mare. They also, remember, these are embryo transfer babies. So they have these mares that they own and people say, I would like... My fantastic mare is barrel racing and I don't want to take her out of competition. Mm. So they will breed her and then they will flush the embryo and put it into one of these recip mares. And so the recip mare thinks she's the Virgin Mary having a Jesus Christ as a baby. That baby comes out and there. So if for some reason that mare rejected that foal or that mare didn't make it, they would have to call in a nurse mare who has a nurse mare has a baby over here. So they pull the nurse mare. That's kind of their job. And they introduce and they have such a cool sciencey way to get them to take them. Now, do I wish they didn't have any nurse? But yes. Okay. Like I ask him about how they can chemically do all of it, get them in milk. And he was just like, yeah, we have like 2,000 horses. It's like, I can't do that. So anyway, they bring that nurse mare over here and then there's the baby, but they breed that baby.
There's more money in that than I thought there was.
Oh my God. So yeah, they take these nurse mares and I mean, it's like, you know, a couple thousand dollars a year just to have the nurse mare and then boarding it and take like they make a lot of money dealing with that. And these are these mares' jobs is they just have babies. And what's they told me that they were the largest rescuer of horses at kill pens. They go to all the auctions and they buy up the mares that would otherwise go to slaughter and they tend them out in this field and they let them have babies. So it's a fantastic, like when you go to this, you're like, what are these things? Like there's no discerning what any breeding at all. It's like, could be all these things. So yeah.
Heinz 57. Well.
Oh man. All sorts of colors and sizes and everything. So I'm really excited that I get to have my own. I've always wanted a nurse mare baby.
Well, there you go. Sounds like you're getting one and you didn't even know it.
I called Chad and I just sent him a picture of the baby. I'm like, hey, look at this. And he's like, oh yeah, that's someone that you liked. I was like, it's our baby. And he's like, cool.
Yeah. Poor Chad. He's just given up.
Cool.
He's just given up. He didn't say anything anymore. So at some point, we just get tired and stop fighting.
Yeah. I said to him, I was like, can we go visit our baby before, you know, like, I feel like you need to meet our baby. He's like, oh, God, okay. How far is this place?
Is there a golf
Come
course?
Meet our baby.
Is there a golf course nearby?
Exactly. Does your performance horse have sore, stiff muscles? Does he lack energy or tire quickly during exercise? Does their competition schedule require travel? Studies show that horses in regular training and those with limited access to pasture often require additional vitamin E. Studies show that's a study that should be paid for, Glenn. They also show that horses being trailered even short distances can face immunity challenges. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains a healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. For more information, visit KPP USA or call 859-873-2974.
Well, coming up, we have our guest of the day. Selise is joining us. She is known as Lady Selise in her equestrian chaos family stunt show. She's got the whole family involved traveling the country doing this stunt show with mounted archery and all kinds of different stunts, and we're going to hear about that now. Well, Selise, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I have a Renaissance fair background, so talking to a fellow Rennie makes me very happy.
So I don't qualify for that, but I do enjoy going, so I respect all of that you do.
And Jamie has shot a mounted archery in a competition, so there. I mean, yeah. So
I mean, let me just tell you, it's pretty impressive when you're walking along shooting bows and arrows at balloons.
It's fun. It's really fun.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun. It's so fun.
So you started doing the trick riding when you were pretty young, right?
I started when I was 17.
So why trick riding? Was it just riding wasn't exciting enough for you? You decided to do things where you fall off on a regular basis?
So for me, when I started mounted archery, it was, well, no, the trick riding, sorry, let me go back to that. It was something that I loved because it didn't really matter what kind of horse you had. It was more about the performance itself and what you could bring to the table with your horse. And I came from a showing background. I used to show American Saddlebreds. And when I got to college and wasn't showing anymore, I kind of was in a funk because I really loved horses, but I didn't know how to pursue it financially in the show world on my own. And so when I was 18, I auditioned for a show. I auditioned for Dolly Parton's
Dixie
Stampede.
Yeah.
And so when I saw the show, that is when I was able to really dive into trick riding. And it kind of put me on a level playing field with my peers simply because it didn't matter what kind of horse I had, how expensive the horse was or not, could we do a performance together? And that's where I fell in love with it because the financial side of trick riding was much different than the show world. And it was allowing me opportunities that I really wouldn't have on my own without a lot of financial support. Does that make sense?
You just described 70% of our listeners, actually. And actually, some of our listeners have rode at Dolly Parton Stampede, too. I saw you also did Arabian Nights. We actually did a show from the side of the arena. We did this show from the side of the arena probably 10 years ago when it was still going in Orlando. Wow. So, yeah, we knew the people from Arabian Nights as well. But now you're doing this show. It's called. Tell us about this show that you're doing called Equestrian Chaos.
Equestrian Chaos. Well, okay, it's a really cool show. I love it. It was actually born at a special needs camp. And I'll back up for a minute. So when I found out I was having a little one of my own, I moved to Mobile, Alabama with my husband. And after my daughter Marley was born, I really wanted to continue trick riding, but I had left all of my peers in Florida. I worked with the Zope family. They're a 7-generation bareback riding family, circus family. I worked with some Hungarians that were from Arabian Nights. It was just a really good core group of people in Central Florida that I was with. And when I left there, I left all of my peers and was kind of again in another funk, just trying to figure out how do I keep this going without not knowing anybody in Mobile, Alabama. There was no trick riding in Mobile. very small town at the time. And so when I was asked to be the horseback program director of United Cerebral Palsy's Camp Smile, I jumped on it because it was a great opportunity. I loved working with the kids. I went training to be a certified therapeutic riding instructor. Went to a school called Equest in Wiley, Texas. And while we were building our program, we would put on trick riding shows for the kids at the camp. And I got a bunch of little teenagers and decided, well, fine, if I can't find a trick riding team, I'll make my own. And so I got all these little teenagers and I started teaching them during camp sessions on our breaks how to trick ride. And that is where Equestrian Chaos was actually born, these camps. And we would put on shows for the kids for free. It was feeding my soul because we were doing something great for the kids and I was able to trick ride and still showing them the cool side of horses besides just sitting on a horse and riding in a circle.
So, Lise, you went from you had two extremes there. Therapeutic riding instructors, calm, cool, collected. And yeah. then you're doing the trick riding, which is like high energy, extreme adrenaline. You got both sides right there.
We do. Yes, we do. We had both sides. But it was great because it would really, they would feed off of each other. We would do something in the show. What we would do was we'd put on a show the first night the kids came into camp. A lot of them were homesick. A lot of them were afraid of the horses. So what I wanted to do was try to bridge that gap and give them something they really wanted to look forward to. And for me, I just assumed, you know, well, who wouldn't want a horse show? I would want a horse show, and that would make me not homesick because it's horses and I love horses. So I just figured everyone would want to feel that way. And so we would just put on these shows for these kids. And then the next day, the neat part was they would come up to me and they would go, hey, Celise, look, I can do this too with no hands. And then my wheels got to spinning and I'm like, oh, okay. Now they're wanting to be their own form of a trick rider. And so for literally 14 years, we ran this camp program, basing it around performing arts and trick riding. And whether the kids were able to do it physically or not, we would do anything that they could to make them feel empowered by doing some sort of cool trick on the horse. Even if that was just sitting there with no hands or maybe putting a sword in their hand and playing the ring game that the knights play at Renaissance fairs or learning how to sit backwards on the horse and balancing. And it just became this fuel for them, for the kids, to be able to do something outside of just sitting on a horse and bettering themselves physically and trying to work on their own personal fears to show off to their friends and family. And a lot of kids, one of the kids that stuck out in my mind a lot was he really wanted to ride, but he did battle with a weight problem. And you know, when you're working with adults with special needs, sometimes they become inactive, and that is something that they struggle with is weight. And so one kid came up to me and he's like, look, Miss Elise, I just want you to know I have worked all summer trying to lose weight so I could get on these horses. Oh, and I wanted to do some really cool stuff. And it was that kind of thing. It was their own self-drive. I didn't drive any of it. It was all them. And that's what I loved about the trick riding and how it empowered all of our camp kids to do something different outside the box and to do it all on their own to be more comfortable to be able to execute these different things on the horse that we were asking of them to do. Now, some kids, they weren't really able to do a whole lot. A lot of times our kids that we worked with were, they wouldn't really qualify for a therapy program. It was more like a Make-A-Wish Foundation experience. Some of the kids we would see one year and we knew they weren't coming back the next year. And so we wanted to give them magic at any level we could give them. And a lot of it we found was through trick riding. And so those camps were something that we were able to create equestrian chaos from. And we would take the simplest things and put it in our shows, and we would just see what kind of reaction we would get from our amazing audience. And they, whatever they loved, we would keep in the show. And it ended up becoming a hit. And Equestrian Chaos, the name was actually a joke for a while, because the kids that I was working with that were putting on these shows with me, they didn't have any background experience in performing arts. They were just local community kids that really wanted to do something cool and give back to the community that didn't have a show experience. And so
it was literally
showman,
chaos.
It literally was equestrian chaos. Yes, it was. And so the name came because I was like, you know what, guys, let's just take the pressure off of the show. Let's call it Equestrian Chaos and see what happens.
Let's fast forward now. Your show today. What do you guys do in the show today? And it is your family. It's your daughter and your husband and others, right?
Yes, it is. A couple of the performers, one performer especially, she has been with me since the beginning, Brooke Barry. We call her our middle name, Lady Alexis, in the show. And she's been with me for 17 years, still trick riding with me to this day, traveling the country. So she's family by, she doesn't have a choice. She's still our family. And then, yeah, it's my daughter and my husband. And it is a mounted archery stunt show. And what we started to do was we brought in mounted archery to the kids because a lot of the kids that we were working with, again, weren't able to do a lot of the stunts. And so I'm like, you know what? Why don't we bring archery into this? And we would teach them how to shoot. And a lot of them had great upper body strength, but they didn't know how to use their hands. They could use their hands, but they couldn't use their lower body. So we started incorporating the mounted archery. And then I had just come out of an ACL surgery. And I was like, you know, I really think I could do this with stunts. Why don't we try, let's add it to trick riding and see what happens. And the rest is history. We started throwing some tricks with it, and here we are 5 years later, taking a literal 8 month, 9 month tour on the road, doing this show that we built literally in our backyard.
Well, Jamie, you did the mounted archery. Now imagine doing it hanging off the side of the horse or the back of the horse or kind of upside down.
Yeah, Glenn, I would like you to not include me in this whole thing because my name is, while synonymous with mounted archery, really is pushing the limit. No, I'm just kidding. Like, it's not a thing. Like, I respect everything that you do. I just actually went to a rodeo in California a couple weeks ago, and the trick riders there are amazing. And I'm just blown away. I'm a 3-day eventer. I train horses, like, but I can't imagine doing any of that.
They try and stay on the horse in the saddle, you know, in eventing. It's
yeah, it's completely unnatural. And they're like, oh, here she's gonna do the super death hang, and I'm like, oh my god, why are you doing?
The wording doesn't help either. They call it the death suicide drag. You're like, oh, yeah,
that was it. Oh, God.
So let me ask you about the horses. We are a horse show. So what do you use breed-wise, and what do you look for in a horse?
Everything we use in our show, we have a lot of draft crosses. I've been in love with the draft crosses for years. I like them because they're pretty thick-boned. Not big like a full draft, but they are able to, they're not working so hard as the, you know, your normal quarter horses.
Are you looking for a draft quarter horse, draft thoroughbred? What are you looking for?
A lot of us, we have a lot of Percheron quarter horse crosses.
Okay.
We do have, my first trick riding horse is a quarter horse. He was pretty amazing. He's retired now. We have an Appaloosa that we use, a couple of halflingers, but most of them are quarter horse crossed.
And temperament wise, obviously they have to put up, I owned Percherons in the past and they do put up with anything. I mean, they're so laid back. And I assume you're finding the same thing in the crosses.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have these two stallions that we picked up in Georgia about 5 years ago and they were a year old and it was like they were born trained.
Yeah.
They've been so easy to do anything with. And they watched our other horses practicing the show for years. And they would sit there on the fence line looking at us like, all right, when are you going to put us in? And they were the easiest thing to bring into the show just because of how they were introduced to it. And watching for a couple of years, they pick up on things that you don't even realize they pick up on.
Is there, for the horses, is there a particular trick that's tougher for them?
You know, it only depends how much we do a certain stunt. We'll change it up on them just to make it easier. So we're not doing like the full fender over and over and over again for every single show just to give their bodies a break. So we try to train our tricks on both sides of the horse so we can run them on any pattern, any direction. And we try to balance their bodies that way. There's not really one that's more hard than another.
It's just repetitiveness is a problem. You know,
yes,
I can
the repetitiveness.
See that. Yeah, I can see that.
So always changing it up to keep their bodies balanced and to keep our bodies balanced. Cause for us too, it's the same thing.
All right, one last question before we let you go. And I saw that you worked in some movies. Can you say which ones?
Yeah, I worked in a few movies. Horse-wise, I worked on a movie called The Florida Wild. I don't know if it's out yet. Guns of Redemption. I worked on that last year. That should be out on, I believe it's on Amazon Prime. And I've worked on The Walking Dead.
Oh, really? Yeah?
Yeah, I did some wrangling on that show. And a couple of other shows, but nothing horse related.
So we've had a lot of people, horse wranglers on, has worked in movies over the years, some, you know, really big ones. And we always ask them, what are the positives and negatives? And the negative is always, there's a lot of standing around, just a lot of waiting.
It's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Yeah. You do your thing for 3 minutes and then you do it 5 times or 10 times. And then it's 7 hours of just standing around waiting. Did you find the same thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as a stunt performer, you're so used to, you know, doing live action shows. You're so used to producing on the fly and doing it right then and there. In movies, it's completely opposite. They're going to see a stunt, but they want to see like the first part of the stunt and then they want to cut the shot and then they want to get another angle. And half the time you don't even do the stunt the way you would perform it in a live show. You would just, it's all cut and pasted and movie magic is it's really neat. It's really magical.
Does that make it harder for you? Because you're used to doing it in a certain rhythm and in completion, right? Is that harder for you, the start and stopping?
It was in the beginning because I was so used to executing it full out. And I had to learn how to scale things back because that's not what they wanted. And it took me a while to see the vision behind the camera. And then once I caught on to that, then it became a lot easier.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So where can people see you guys? I know that I noticed on your schedule, you're scheduled for some Renaissance fairs around the country. Mm-hmm. One this month, right?
Yeah. Right now, yesterday, we just arrived to Snohomish, Washington for the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. And then after that, in the end of August, we'll be heading to Ohio, to the Ohio Renaissance Festival.
That's a long drive from the Southeast to Washington.
It is a long drive. But I will say, when we're in one location for a while. We don't go weekend to weekend to weekend.
Okay. So you do the whole run of the fair usually?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we do the whole run to the fair.
Gotcha. All right. Well, so which fair was it again?
Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair.
I know we have a lot of listeners up that way, so you can catch Equestrian Chaos up there. Selise, thank you so much for joining us. It makes me want to go to the fair again
and eat
a turkey leg. I really want to. Thanks, Selise.
Thank you.
Well, as horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can add up quickly, making it hard to keep pace. You know a little bit about that right now with your doggy. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? What am I talking about? We had the vet out earlier in the week, too. The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card gives you that financial peace of mind you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time and easy monthly payments. You can use the Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care. Subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/vetmed. Well, I thought, seeing it's July 4th, and, you know, the time we think about the American Revolution, and it's the 205th. We start now, from now until next July 4th, celebrating the 250th anniversary of this country. And I thought, well, you know, horses were such a big part of everything back then that I would take a look at what role they played in the Revolutionary War. You know, you do see people, usually officers on horseback during the Revolutionary War, and then you see a lot of, you know, mostly you see the infantry hiking. But what we don't see in all the movies is that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of horses used for both armies for hauling cannons, for hauling the wagon trains of food and supplies that were needed to move these armies around. That's,
oh my God,
part.
We've all seen War Horse, Glenn. Don't make me cry,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know.
Joey, get up, Joey, get up!
We think about the soldiers, but we don't think about the thousands of horses that are used to move stuff. They didn't have tractors and trucks back then. So, you know, every one of those wagons required a pair or four. And with the large cannons, they required four horses to move them, because the cannon was attached to the little box behind it that carried the ammunition. So that was all very heavy stuff.
I want one of those flying horses like in Lord of the Rings that the, like, Dementors are riding. Yeah, yeah. I want those.
I don't think they had many in the Continental Army at the time. Did you know Paul Revere, in the famous ride, it was not his own horse. He borrowed it. He didn't own a horse. Paul Revere didn't own a horse. He borrowed it from a guy named John Larkin, who was a Charlestown merchant and Patriot sympathizer. And they didn't really know the name of the horse. And they did some historical and genealogical testing on the Larkin family. And they found that the horse's name might have been Brown Beauty. And that's the one you hear. Yeah, well, apparently that's not true. Apparently it may have been Brown Beauty, but nobody's sure. They just were kind of guessing that.
Maybe it was Black Beauty. Okay.
Well, apparently what they said was, and I didn't realize this, that at that time, people like the Larkin family would own multiple horses, many horses. And at that time, people didn't necessarily name their horses. A lot of horses just didn't have names.
Dicks.
So yeah, there were a lot of unnamed horses back at that
How
time.
How good of a horse is that? This stranger comes on, takes it out of the yard, hops on it, and gallops away from the farm. Their red goats are coming. They're just screaming and at the top of the lungs, galloping like for miles
in
and miles.
The dark.
Brown Beauty was amazing.
Yes, Brown Beauty apparently was a good horse. And that's the one thing that Paul Revere said, is this was a good horse. So that's all he said. There was no name or anything given. Now, however, George Washington, we didn't know about his horses. And I talked about his horses in the past. We had two horses, Nelson and Blueskin. And Nelson was the one. Yeah, Blueskin was the horse's name. Nelson was the one that was known for being mostly his war horse and was really good under fire with all the noise and all that stuff. And then Blueskin was the gray that we see in pictures of all the time, paintings of George Washington riding a big gray horse.
I never knew that was the name.
Yeah, Blueskin was the gray. And appeared in many renditions. They think that he used Blueskin when he was just riding from place to place, as opposed to using a Nelson, who was better as a war horse. So
yeah, but Blueskin was so much prettier for paintings.
Exactly. Nelson was kind of just ordinary, I guess. But you know what? I'll take an ordinary good horse in battle than a striking gray. That's not good in battle. So they used a ton, as I said, of horses. When George Washington crossed the Delaware River, remember that one? You know, to go attack at night. His force of 2,400 soldiers included 50 horses and 18 cannons, which also had their own horses. So they estimate there was around 150 horses used at that time, and they had to get all those horses across the river.
Can we just take a moment to thank the horse for shaping our world as we know it? I mean, good Lord.
Well, in the British in New York, they don't have a whole lot that was written down about the horses in the Revolutionary War, but in 1977, this was documented. The British in New York had
1777.
Oh, sorry, 1777. Yeah. Wrong 77. In 1777, they had written down that they had about 900 horses in New York City at the time. This was been the British at the point. And they were mostly used for wagons and artillery and stuff, but they were feeding, this was written down, 6 tons of hay a day. You know, we don't think about the fact when they moved these large armies, the horses pulled the wagons, but they also had a ton of horses pulling wagons that had stuff to feed the horses.
Didn't you do a story about New York City having a poop issue?
That was a little later in time. That was in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Yeah, but I mean, you think about it, all the horses had to be fed too. So there you go. One other cool thing is and George Washington wrote about this in several letters. When he was setting up the army, he said, we need a lot of farriers. We need a lot of trained farriers. So every unit had a trained farrier that went out with them. Every wagon train had a trained farrier or two that went out with them, because you still had to deal with the horse's feet. What we don't think about that back then is you think it's hard to get a veterinarian today. There weren't any back then. So it was the farrier that was basically kind of an overall horse person, and it was the farrier that dealt with ailments and injuries and treatments and wounds and lamenesses.
Under gunfire?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was also the farrier's job to put down horses that were injured, that had to be put down. That was the farrier's job. So the farrier was not only working on feet, he was the veterinarian and everything else as well. And apparently, because there weren't always doctors, people doctors, the farrier had to deal with people injuries too. So there you go.
You know, sometimes I'm glad I was born when I was born.
Oh, you know, people romanticize even medieval times, like we talked about earlier, right? It was just disgusting. You were smelly. You took a bath once a year, you know. Just, you know, the streets stank. Everything smelled. You know, you get used to smells after a while, but I'm kind of thinking you're not going to get used to the smells when they're dumping the toilets in the street. I don't know.
I watch so many Westerns. This is such a weird thing, but I love Westerns, and I watch where like the ladies
are. You
got
that from your daddy.
I know. And the ladies of the night are in their house, and these cowboys swagger in, and I'm like, take a bath first, gross! Yeah,
he's been out there in the prairie chasing cows
for
a month.
4 months, you know? Yeah.
Hasn't seen water in 6 weeks.
Like, hello, mister, come on in. I'm like, y'all need to charge more.
Yeah, you know what, though? We don't know how often the prostitutes bathed either, so.
It's all gross.
They're going to be so proud. Let's hear from U.S. Ryder.
Sorry.
And then we're going to do some really bad ads. We have some new prizes for you.
Come on, Blueskin. Get in the boat.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that U.S. Ryder is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Ryder's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usryder.org.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook. I think we have a lot of Craigslist today. Remember you told them to go look at Craigslist?
Yay!
Well, we got a lot of Craigslist today. I forgot you had mentioned that. I was like, why do we have all these Craigslist all of a sudden? That's because
they're the best worst ads.
you reminded
the worst,
them, apparently.
Best. I don't know. One of those.
So the following products are going to be given away this month. We'll have them all month. And then at the end of the month, we'll give them away to people who submit entries. And they're provided by horseloverswithaz.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. Check them out at horseloverswithaz.com. We have a Shire's Nylon horse halter with leather strap, your choice of size and color. It's a quality nylon halter with adjustable leather headpiece and ARMA finishings. So that's one prize. We also have, this is the last month for this, and I know that both winners last month, I talked to them this week, we're really excited. We have two winners each for three 45-ounce bags of Stud Muffins, including the original Stud Muffin Slims, and Stud Muffins Peppermint. That's a $72 value. This is the last month we have these, so get your ads in. Of course, we know that Stud Muffins are made with high-quality ingredients that horses love, and, you know, they're just good. And now that they have the Stud Muffin Slims, that's something I can feed Scooter occasionally. Not a lot, because Jennifer yelled at me. So Stud Muffin Slims is one of the low-sugar options that they have now. And then I also have, we're going to have a lot of winners this month, I also have five of the books, The Honest to Goodness Truth About Horse Trailers by Brad Heath, our friend over there. And this book is really good. It cuts through the confusion and gives you real-world answers on buying and maintaining a horse trailer. He has 30 years of experience, and what he says, the guide delivers what most manufacturers won't say out loud. So it is a really good book. I'm going to have five of those. So we are going to have eight winners this month. That's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. So get your ads in, people.
So we had a bunch of people I guess we aren't going to get to this month, right?
Cameron, Faye, Debbie, Delia, Heather, and Jenny, you guys are all in the drawing. One comes from Jamie. I think you've got that one. Won't you read that one?
Jamie sent this one in. Prada, 15-year grade mare, Jill of all trades. Trail Horse Deluxe, chill as your husband watching you clean the house. They don't know horse people very well.
I say, there'd be no chilling while I was doing something. You're just going to sit there. I don't think so.
Loves water more than a carnival game goldfish. What? Did AI write this? She's roped a practice dummy bit and doesn't mind at all after her ears may or may not take as many shots as the horns.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, it means that they're roping not very well.
They're whacking them in the ears.
It's kind of like solid 3D barrel horse. Yes, I said barrel horse. She is hot on the day. Not like your former boyfriend's horse who's on so many drugs it's climbing the walls. I'm so confused. More anxious, like when a cop pulls up behind you and you know you didn't do anything wrong kind of anxious.
Yeah, it's like, it's just not hitting home.
No.
It's like, they're just trying.
You can use these analogies, but you don't use 10 in one ad. Oh, there's one more. Not Kardashian-esque in any way. More of a Swiftie. And just as purdy. Seven star sign, hand emoji, apple emoji, orange emoji, OBO. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's like 12 analogies in one ad.
Could you just tell me how tall she is?
Yes. I don't. Do we even know what kind? We really don't, do we?
It says a 15-year grade mare, Jill of all trades. What's one? Trail Horse Deluxe. Chill is your husband watching you clean the house. That's two. Loves you more than a carnival game.
Three.
Goldfish. Three. She doesn't mind her ears taking shots as the horns.
Four.
Hot on the day. I don't know what that means. Five. Not like your form of BFF's horse when somebody drugs. Six. More anxious like when a cop pulls behind you. Seven. Not Kardashian-esque. Eight. More of a Swiftie and just
nine.
Nine emojis. And I don't even know what the hell the horse is. Not emojis. Not analogies. And I don't even know what the horse is.
That's a record for analogies in one two-paragraph ad.
What color is it?
Sometimes you can get too cute, people. Sometimes you get too cute.
Oh my God, this next one. Oh Lord, thank God for Craigslist. Emily sent this one in. It's a picture of one of those real crappy English saddles that you buy like for a kid out of a
kit. $100. Yeah.
You know, yeah. But the title of the ad is fantastic. This is in Anchorage. Hornless horse saddle, $110.
Well, they weren't wrong.
That'd be called an English saddle.
They weren't wrong. It is hornless.
Appears to be complete, but I can't find a name on it. Smells like leather.
Well, that's good.
That's super helpful. Thank you. Thank you for that.
That's it. That's the end of the ad.
That's it.
A hornless horse saddle. Next time I see an English saddle at a show, I'm going to say, I love your hornless saddle. All right, Sandra sent this one in.
Hold on. We're going to have to count the analogies. I'll do it while you read, okay?
Oh, my God. Here we go again. Meet Jay, fondly named after my toxic ex, because this guy just keeps coming back for me.
One.
Had him gone back in February when the ex was a newly minted ex, only to discover the new forever home was also the other woman.
Two. Sort of. Well, wait, hold on. So basically, yes. She sold the horse to the ex's new girlfriend?
The one he cheated on her with, yes. Well, you can guess how that went. So Jay was back in my yard. Oh, God, I want to talk to this woman.
This is like Groot. He just keeps coming back.
Next up, bright-eyed teenager fell in love after a 3.5-minute test ride in late March and took him home the same day. Unfortunately, bright-eyed teenager never followed up on that 3.5-minute ride, and by early May, Jay was, you guessed it, back in my yard. This is Groot.
It's totally
poor
Groot.
Jay is looking for a specific person here, someone who believes in consistency, or someone who wants something pretty to look at and have as a pet. No in between. Either ride him every day or don't ride him at all. Jay needs a seriously OCD human because he is seriously OCD horse. Lower XXXX, the price is the same as my last hay bill. We'll also trade for hay.
Get this damn horse out of my yard.
Poor Jay keeps bouncing back. Jay and Groot need to go to the same home.
I know. Maybe Jay is Groot. Maybe I wrote that ad.
Yeah, you might have. Although your Chad didn't leave you, did he? For another woman?
No, if it was named after my toxic ex, I have a list of names to choose from. I'd have to think about it.
Was that even named Jay?
I haven't had a Jay, but my friend Pamela has a Jay, a horse named Jay.
There you go.
Maybe that's her horse. Oh my God, let me get a list. Okay, we've got Mark.
Today.
We've got Bob. We've got Jeff. We've got Andrew. Hold on. Keep going. We got Taylor. Hold on. Keep going. I got more. You know what?
Let's go on to the next one.
Let's move on because I don't want to talk about Tommy. Okay. That one have to move past. Okay. Jessica sent the next one in. Okay. Here's this.
Here we go
again.
Oh, my
God. X's trailer for sale. Two horse trailer. The wife, in parentheses, going forward, referred to as X.
We have the husband here. Okay.
Got it in the divorce. I got the land it sits on. That was about 10 years ago. I figure a decade is sufficient time for her to come and get it.
Oh my God, the trailer's been sitting there for 10 years?
10 years. Oh, I bet this thing is beautiful. Still pulls. I know this because for the last 520 weeks, I've been moving it north, then south 20 feet in order to mow around it.
It's pissed him off every single time. He swears
stupid
and cusses.
Trailer. There's a window on the front that needs to be reattached. Rust is surface level. Floor is good. I know this because for the last... Because for the last 120 months, I've been crawling in there to remove the local flora and fauna who want to use it as their home. Title is clear in hand.
I guess it wasn't ever transferred to her name.
Title is clear in hand. I know this because 10 years ago, I put it in a Ziploc bag in the back of the tack area so that the newly crowned ex could pick it up at her leisure. 1,500, 2,200 if you're the ex.
I don't even care what the trailer looks like. Okay, that was the best bad ad trailer ad we've ever had.
That's fantastic.
God, it's all X's today. Now you know why I questioned Jennifer.
120 weeks I've been moving it north and south. Oh, 20 God, feet.
That piss you off every week, every time.
Oh, my cheeks hurt.
I wouldn't have waited 10 years. I couldn't have waited 10 years. It's just reminded her him. I wonder if he has a new wife because she knows it's hers too. And she's been pissed about it every week, too. Oh, my God.
Sounds to me like this guy's so angry, he's never getting married again. No. He's single.
Yes, he's gay now. Yeah. Joy sent this
in. Men are much easier to deal with.
Joy sent this in. Win or die. Ryan is a 10-year-old, 16.2-hand Oldenburg mayor, no papers. Think of Ryan as a friend you had in your freshman year. She was
What's with the analogies, people?
She was beautiful, rebellious, a little out of control, and oh so fun. We just talked about Oldenburgs, and we found that they're all kind of that way. She is beautiful on the outside and a true chestnut mare on the inside. This mare goes to the jumps like a freight train and never touches a rail.
Hold on. Let me. We got to go back.
Okay.
Ryan is a friend you had your freshman year.
Yep.
Number one. Mare goes to the jumps like a freight train. Analogy number two.
She lands like a Ferrari with no brakes or steering.
Three.
If you can ride her, she'll have lots of ribbons in your future. If you can't, then you need to have good health insurance.
Sort of four.
As much as I love this mare, it's time we break up. And no, you cannot take her on trial. Reasonable offers will be considered, but don't be a blank hole. I need a stall as soon as possible for my new gelding.
All caps. Gelding, yes. In all caps. Gelding!
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she's had as much luck with mares as you have, apparently. So.
Again, it's not the mares. It's the geldings on property that turn into a-holes.
Yes.
Because a mare's around. So again, I don't hate mares. I'm not a mare hater. I love a good mare. But I can't. My property's not big enough for Maverick and Ace to be on the same property as a bear.
You'd need 1,000 acres. God, we have a theme today.
My God, it's great. Okay, Bobby sent this one in.
See, people, how much better Craigslist ads are than Facebook.
This one's a Craigslist one. Yes, hello. Okay, this has got to be talk to text. Because there's no punctuation. They didn't leave. They didn't say, okay, period, space,
they
period, exclamation
gaps.
Point. Okay, so think of this person putting the phone up to their mouth while they're probably driving. And I got to get rid of this damn horse. Can't take this horse anymore. Just going to read it into my phone. Siri, write this down. Yes, hello. I have a beautiful gelding named Henry up. Oh, wait, Siri's talking. Sorry.
Shut up, Siri. Now we've woken up every Siri in the country.
Hey, Siri, dictate what I'm about to say. Okay, I'm going to have her do that. Maybe she'll dictate. Hey, Siri, take dictation. Yes, hello. Oh, come on. She says she doesn't do that. Shut up, Siri.
The useless piece of crap that is.
Well, their phone does. Their Alexa does, apparently. Hey, Alexa. Ha, now you're all waking up all the things. Okay. Yes, hello. I have a beautiful gelding named Henry up for sale looking for his forever home. He's 9 years old. If you're interested, please give me. We read them as they're written, people. If you're interested, please give me a call. He doesn't. His feet done, and he has been sitting for a little bit. But my boyfriend wrote... I don't know why that makes me laugh. But my boyfriend wrote him Oh, God.
Finish that sentence.
My boyfriend wrote him, not me. Punctuation matters.
Is that Bailey's?
This is why.
I didn't even have Bailey's.
Did you not pick that up, though? Bailey's or not? Did
yes,
you
I
not...
picked it up. Oh, okay. I got it.
Okay. So I didn't need Bailey's to see that. Okay. My boyfriend rode him, not me. Trained for intermediate or advanced like him to go to someone who would show him. Please no. Please no emails. Just text or call me. Also 100% sound great legs.
Delia's going to help us out with the next one.
Oh, please.
This is Delia from Illinois with a really bad ad.
What up, girl?
This is my first time recording one, so bear with me. This is from Illinois Horse and Tack for Sale. Do not miss out on this one, folks. Are you looking for the perfect little project horse? You don't get them this size every day. Meet Luella. She is a 7-year-old, 13-hand mare. Boy, is she cute as a button and going to fit everyone's pocketbook.
But?
Luella has a super cute build with clean legs and feet. She's come a long way in her new home and has begun to enjoy people's company.
But?
They saddled her up and she did fantastic. She knows what a bridle is. They put weight in a saddle and she bucks. So she's going to be sold as a project. She's good with all types of livestock. She respects fences, is easy to halter and lead, loads. She has been running with a Champagne Tennessee Walker TWH stud.
Oh, God.
Oh.
So the pictures, they said she had a great build. I don't know if I'd call that a great build. The back is looking a little funky. Anyway, that's my ad.
Because she's pregnant, the belly's hanging down is what happened.
Let me get this straight. Luella, the thoroughbred, could potentially be in full to a Tennessee walking horse, yep. But you don't know. And it turns out that if you get a horse and you just strap a saddle on it and ride it,
it bucks.
Might potentially buck. That's so weird.
It's so weird. All right, one more.
I was really invested in that one. Ashley sent this one in. Free to good home. Well, any home, really. Georgia. Oh, God. Rooster. He's the perfect rooster. You will never oversleep again. Ever. You'll be awake at 5:30 a.m. That's his only setting. 5:30. Built-in snooze button. He will be quiet just long enough for you to fall back to sleep. And then he'll start back up with these obnoxious cock-a-doodle doing right outside your windows. Number two. He's also an instructor of interpretive dance. Or at least that's what I imagine it looked like after I went after him, flapping my arms, jumping up and down, yelling and screaming and swinging a mop in his direction as I make my way from the back door to my car. Number three. He's a fitness instructor that won't let you slack off. Regardless of the weather, he will be outside your window waiting to ambush you and chase you across any open space. So if you're looking for an alarm clock with the only setting being at 5:30 a.m., a personal trainer, and a dance instructor, I have the perfect rooster that is able to fill all three of those positions for
We've all owned this rooster. We've all had this rooster. You just got rid of one, I think, that was just like this.
I just adopted a rooster from, it's like I told you guys on Wednesday, like he's so tiny and I brought him home to 25 women and he's so scared of them.
Does he have any feathers left? Have they pecked him to death at this point?
He just runs away from them. He's like, oh my God, these big bitches. Like it just runs off. Like, no, thank you. He has wants no part of it.
I was a town guy. So I grew up in a town. There were no roosters in town. So when I met Jennifer, I was 25 years old. And I go to her farm. She had a 100-acre farm. She had all the things. So, you know, drive back this 3/4 mile long lane and get to this old farmhouse. And she had chickens. And, of course, she had roosters. And the first couple nights I actually slept over there, this was the 5:30 a.m. rooster thing. And I got to tell you, by about the second week, I really wanted to shoot the rooster, but she wouldn't let me. So I'm not necessarily a violent person, but I really wanted to shoot the rooster. Either that or I wanted to take the rooster to somebody else's farm and drop it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are really bad. Fortunately, my coop's far away from my house. But I will tell you that when we
Yeah, but it's right next to the neighbor houses.
Yeah, suck it up, buttercup. That's why I get tiny roosters, because their crow is like... They're so tiny.
Those are the same ones that attack you, too. They're absolutely right in the sad.
So the Key West, you know how they, like, if you go to Key West, Florida, there's chickens everywhere and roosters everywhere. Yep. And we booked what I thought looked online as a nice hotel. And we had this room and it was, you know, like the window, the sliding glass doors opened up to the pool. We just walked to the pool. It was great. Until you realize that in Florida, chickens in Key West, chickens are protected. Like, you can't mess with them. And the problem is
they're everywhere.
And so if you have a floor room, they will be right outside crowing. I it was like after the first night, I got up with my pillow and I'm like running through the parking lot at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to swat roosters with my pillow. Then this guy looks at me. I'm in my pajamas. And this guy's like, hey, want to buy some drugs? I'm like, get me out of here.
Well, it might have helped you sleep.
Never mind. You can all go to hell.
They're everywhere, too.
I'm like, Chad, remember that time we had the roosters outside of the Key West Hotel, and then I went outside to chase them away, and the guy tried to sell me drugs?
I mean, you and I don't sleep well to begin with, so if we go on vacation and we can actually sleep until 7 o'clock, and then this happens, it just pisses you off more. It just really does.
Nope.
Well, anyway, I hope you found a home, somebody else's home for the rooster. Shipping to Key West. They're everywhere.
They'd be welcome in
Key West.
They're
like pigeons. Anywhere else, they're like pigeons. In Key West, they're chickens.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was a good, funny batch of ads. Good job, people. And look, Craigslist came through today. I think we had one Facebook and all the rest were Craigslist. Good advice there, Jamie.
Thank you.
And DLE, you get double the entries for all the prizes we have this time because you sent in one you read yourself. Thank you for doing that. By the way, you can do that easily by going to our website, horsesradionetwork.com. Click on the voicemail line right there on your phone. Just click voicemail and talk, and it comes to us magically. So you can read the ads that way. Have a terrific holiday weekend, everybody. I'll be back on Monday. You have a fantastic trip to Colorado.
Thank you. It's going to be so fun. I will tell you that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it because I don't know if we're going to stay long enough, but I spoke to TJ yesterday. He called me and he was like, I've got something really, really exciting. We might have to leave on Friday because Chad's on call. But he said, I've got something really exciting for you. I'm like, what? And he said, on Saturday, we are hosting a cutting cattle.
Oh,
you can sorting cattle. And he was like, I've got Zeus ready for you to go cut cattle on.
Oh, Jennifer loved doing that.
I'm like, oh my God, that's the thing I want to do more than anything in the world. I'm taking my saddle that Pat Roberts gave me, and I'm going to go cut cattle on Zeus. Oh my God, please. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it because he might have to leave, and I might just stay.
Well, I was just going to say, let him leave. He can fly back, and you can drive back.
Yeah. Again, Cotopaxi, Colorado. Not really a lot of airports around there. So that's why we drive 12 hours, okay? It's not my choice.
Well, have a great trip.
Thank you. Spay, neuter, geld.